today's study will be study number 13 in the series, of course, that we're calling God's Eternal Purpose, and today's the 20th of March, 2016. And as I've continually read through this whole series of studies that we're doing, that we have a study purpose. And our purpose in this study is to form a list of coming events in Scripture with group participation so that we as members of His body can better understand God's eternal purpose and where we fit into it. And especially the understanding of God's eternal purpose and where we fit into it. That's the big point that I want to drive through this whole thing. In moving forward today, we're going to be continuing with our things past. Now, if you look at Appendix 198 in the back of the Companion Bible, that's on page 218, and check out Appendix 198. It's called God's Eternal Purpose. And if you'll notice that it's put in an outline form, and the things at the top part of the outline complement and match up with the items in the bottom part of the outline. If you haven't looked at it in a while, you might want to go back and look at it. And, of course, we're working on our own outline, but as I got to going through this thing, I was reminded when I looked at that outline of the verses in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 14 through 15. It says, that which hath been shall be, and that which shall be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. So I thought it important in looking at that, if we're going to understand, according to putting together our list of things to come, one good way to enhance our understanding of what may be coming is to understand what has already taken place. And one of the biggest things that's already taken place, of course, is section or item F in that outline in Appendix 198. And item F is the chosen nation called and blessed. Of course, referring there to the nation of Israel. The choosing and the calling and the blessing and finally the end, I believe, of the nation of Israel is listed in the scripture from Genesis 12 all the way to Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, and beyond even that in the Old Testament, and beyond even that in the New Testament all the way to Acts 28:28. And I believe at the end of Acts 28:28, history for Israel and Israel as a nation literally are unplugged. God as God literally unplugs the nation of Israel or unplugs the clock for the nation of Israel. And they once again, as they had so many times in Scripture, they become Lo am I, or not my people. And I probably mispronounced that, but if you hear me say it, you'll know what I mean, whether I pronounce it correctly or not. I believe they have become not my people. You say, well, Ronnie, we have an Israel in the Middle East right now. Yes, we do. I will not argue that point. And I also believe that since that Israel that's there believes in democracy, I have no problem with our country supporting them as though they, you know, because they believe in being a free people. And they have a prime minister as opposed to some evil dictator like Syria or some of the other nations over there have. But let me be clear. I do not believe those people that are there today that were put there by the United Nations in 1949. I do not believe them to be God's Israel. They're man's Israel. They're the earth's Israel. And I have no problem with our nation being an ally to them, but I do not believe they are God's Israel. I believe there's coming a day when God, according to Ezekiel 37, will raise his Israel out of the dust, and he'll deal with Israel again as a nation. So you can agree with that or disagree with that, but I wanted to make that clear as we look here at the history of the nation of Israel. Now, turn with me. Last week we stopped with the end of both King Rehoboam and Jeroboam's reigns. Of course, you know, as we've been going through the story, Saul, then David, then Solomon reign over the nation of Israel as a united nation, Israel and Judah. Those three kings reigned over the entire nation of Israel. After Solomon's reign, the kingdom split, into the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. And we had two kings. So Jeroboam's reign, we read a little bit last week about King Rehoboam, who was the king of Judah, and Jeroboam, who was the king of Israel. So Jeroboam's reign ended, and these are the pretty much approximate dates of the CB. So any of the dates that I put out this morning will be usually according to the CB. Let me do some housekeeping here and get rid of some red dots. King Jeroboam's reign ended in approximately 858 B.C., and Rehoboam's reign ended in approximately 863 B.C., for those of you keeping up, tracking at home. And don't take my word for the dates. Please go back and check them. I'm basically using, for time's sake, the Companion Bible dates, and I make no arguments either for or against the perfectness or imperfectness of the dates in the Companion Bible. So check those out if you would. Now, what I want to do right now is we would be here forever and ever, amen. Hey, baby, my girls just came in. We would be here forever and ever, amen, if I tried to study each one of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah in order, because there are probably over, looks like there are about 50 of them, or maybe a little more than 50 of them all total. So what I'm going to do this morning for just a few minutes here is I want to go through first the kings of the northern tribes, and I just want to list them and tell you whether they were good or bad. And for the northern tribes, I've got an approximate number of years that they reigned. So I'll go through and we'll at least mention them, and then we'll at least mention again the kings of Judah. Now, of course, the northern tribes, once they're carried off into Assyrian captivity, that pretty much does them in. You don't hear from them again. And that happens in the reign of the king of Judah, I believe it was Hezekiah. And during the reign of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, the Assyrians carry off the northern tribes king and all the, you know, the people, and they're basically not heard from again. They're off the scene. They're done. So let's read through these kings as we can this morning, and as I can make it out on the paper. It starts off, of course, with Jeroboam. He reigned 22 years, and of course he was a bad king. And when I say bad king, that's it. When I say bad king, that means bad king in the sense of keeping the people worshiping the groves, worshiping false gods, doing all the things against the Lord God of Israel, and in general, doing all the things that the prophet said would come to pass that seemed to plague the nation of Israel all down through their history. So Jeroboam reigned for 22 years, and he was a bad king. After him came King Nadab. He reigned for 2 years, and he was a bad king. After him came Baasha, B-A-A-S-H-A, King Baasha. Now, these are the kings in order of the northern tribes. Remember, this is not of Judah. These are the kings of the northern tribes, the 10 tribes of the north, so to say. He reigned for 24 years, a little longer than the others. And, of course, he was a bad king. Then we had after him Elah, E-L-A-H. I'll get it right in a minute. After him we have King Elah. He reigned for 2 years, and he also was a bad king. After him we had King Zimri, Z-I-M-R-I. He reigned for exactly 7 days. And I don't know, I gotta go back and read what happened to Zimri. He didn't last very long. But he was a bad king. After him we have King Omri, O-M-R-I. And he reigned for 12 years. And the note that I have here on King Omri, that he was extra bad. He wasn't just bad. He was extra bad. So
bad to the bone.
Bad to the bone, evidently. Well, and he's not the worst. He was extra bad. And then after him was King Ahab, which according to some of the notes from my father-in-law was the worst of all. He evidently set the standard for idolatry, idolistic worship in Israel, evidently. He was the gold standard for being a disobedient king, evidently. King Ahab, A-H-A-B.
How many years?
He reigned 22 years and was worst of all. After him was Ahaziah, A-H-A-Z-I-A-H. Ahaziah, he reigned for 2 years, and he was a bad king. Are you getting the picture here of what came in Israel as a result of their disobedience to the Lord? There's not too much good going on here in the 10 northern tribes. After him reigned King Joram, J-O-R-A-M, and he reigned for 12 years. Then he was bad as well, mostly bad. I don't think he was completely horrible, but he was mostly bad, King Joram. And when it, I think by mostly bad, it means that there may have been a turning point when he saw that they might need to go back to the Lord or some event took place. I haven't obviously studied out all these. I'm just giving this as a kind of a synopsis of all the kings of Israel. After him came King Jehu. He reigned for 28 years, and he too was mostly bad, but there must have been something in there that gave him a glimmer of hope. After him came Jehoahaz, and that's J-E-H-O-A-H-A-Z, Jehoahaz. He reigned for 17 years, and he was a bad king. After him came King Joash, J-O-A-S-H. He reigned for 16 years, and he was a bad king. After him came Jeroboam the second. We didn't have just one Jeroboam, who was the son of Solomon. We have Jeroboam the second, who reigned for 41 years. Pretty long reign on him. And he too was a bad king. Then we have King Zechariah, who reigned for 6 months. And he was a bad king. Usually when you see this, that means somebody has had it plotted out to kill him, or God usually arranges some way to take him out. So that usually explains these very short durations. Zechariah was king for only 6 months, and he is listed as a bad king. And after him we have King Shallum, S-H-A-L-L-A-M. And he reigns, I believe it is, for 1 month. And he, too, is listed as a bad king. Are you seeing a pattern here? And when I say bad king, that means a king that is not listening to the ways of the Lord. They do not abide by the law of the Lord. And so he only lasts for a month. After him comes King Menahem. And that's M-E-N-A-H-E-M. He ruled for 10 years as, you guessed it, a bad king. After him, we have Pekahiah, King Pekahiah. And that's P-E-K-A-H-I-A-H. He reigned for 2 years, and he too was a bad king. And you read about all these kings in the books of 1st, 2nd Kings and 1st, 2nd Chronicles, of course. After him came King Pekah, P-E-K-A-H. He reigned for 20 years, and he too was a bad king. After him came King Hoshea, and that's H-O-S-H-E-A. And he's the last one. He reigned for 9 years, and he too was a bad king. Now, these all, the note says, Hal served the golden calf, the worst served Baal, and of course, I think it's King Ahab that was famous for serving the god Baal, the false god Baal. So that, there you have a kind of a quick synopsis of all the northern kings of the 10 tribes, the 10 northern tribes that split off from Judah and Benjamin. Now let's turn with me, if you would, quickly before we do the other nation, to 2 Kings chapter 17. And I want to read all of 17 this morning as time allows, so that we can kind of pick up the end of the northern tribes here. It says in verse 1 of chapter 17, 2 Kings, in the 12th year of Ahaz, the king of Judah. And see, a lot of times it'll give you where one king starts with reference to where the king of the other nation is in his reign. So it says, in the 12th year of Ahaz, the king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel for 9 years. So see, it kind of connects the kings together, and you can tell where the reign of one king overlaps the reign of another king, or where one king starts relative to where another king's reign is. So, it says in verse 2, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. So, that may be where the note comes from, that he was mostly bad, or, you know, some good, some bad. Verse 3, against him came up Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, the king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria as he had done year by year. So there's a lesson for you. If you start giving the king of Assyria a present every year, you best not stop it, because he's not going to be happy when the presents stop. So therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison, takes him and throws him in prison. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. Now remember, we're looking at the history, the historical account in Scripture of the last of the kings that's mentioned of the northern tribes of Israel. And it says in the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria, took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah and in Habor by the river of Gozan in the cities of the Medes. So they relocated all the people of Israel that they had captured. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt and from under the hand of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods. They didn't do as they covenanted with God that they would do. Verse 8. And they walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And they set them up images and groves in every hill and under every green tree. The abomination of the Lord was all throughout the land, evidently. Verse 11, it says, and there they burned incense in all the high places, as did the heathen, whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, whereof the Lord hath said unto them, you shall not do this thing. They did exactly what God told them not to. Verse 13, yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding, verse 14, here's kind of the synopsis in the Scripture of what was going on. Notwithstanding, they would not hear. They were sent, the prophets and the seers, and they didn't listen. They would not hear, but hardened their necks, like to the neck of their fathers, that did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes, and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he testified against them, and they followed vanity, and became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. Well, it's not sounding good for Israel. I don't know about you, but when I read this, I'm like, wow, it's not too good. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the host of heaven that served Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire. Ooh. Remember, God had specifically mentioned that he hated that one. They literally had child sacrifices, pitched them in the fire to please these false gods. They caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and used divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them. Look at this. Removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. The northern tribes, they're gone. Also, Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel, and afflicted them, and delivered them into the hands of spoilers, until he had cast them out of his sight. For he rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king. And Jeroboam drove Israel from following the Lord, and made them sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did, they departed not from them, until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all of his servants, the prophets. That's in verse 23. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. Basically, the epitaph here of the 10 northern tribes of the nation of Israel. And the king of Assyria, verse 24, brought men from Babylon and from Cuthah and from Ava and from Hanath and from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. The king of Assyria replaced the people of Israel that were in Samaria with his people. And he moved the people of Samaria, as we read in earlier verses, to other places. And it was so, in verse 25, and so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there, that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the matter of the God of the land. See, they still, even though they had their false gods, they're like, there's something going on here with this God of Israel. We're in their land, but man, we keep having these problems. They're sending lions in here. They know not the matter of the God of the land. Therefore he hath sent lions among them. And behold, they slay them because they know not the matter of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, carry thither one of the priests whom ye brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let him teach them the manner of the God of the land. Well, the God of the land is the God of Israel. So they were going to take one of the priests out of the captured nations and take them, the priest back, put him back home in Samaria to teach these heathens the ways of God. Now this is really strange at this point. Verse 28. Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Howbeit every nation made gods of their own and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt. See, even though they had the words of the true God, they still went right on worshiping their own gods. And the men of Babylon made Sukoth-Benoth, and the men of Kuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made Ashimah. These are their false gods. And the Avites made Nebaz and Tartak, and the Sepharvites burnt their children in the fire to Adrammelech and Abimelech, the gods of Sepharvaim. So they're still doing all the nasty things that go with the worship of the false gods. Verse 32. So they feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. They feared the Lord and served their own gods. So all they did was add the God of Israel to their list of gods that they were already serving. Isn't that weird? Strange. After the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. Unto this day, verse 34, they do after the former matters. They fear not the Lord, neither do they after their statutes or after the ordinances or after the law and commandments which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant, and charged them, saying, you shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But the Lord who brought you up out of the hand of Egypt with a great power and a stretched out arm, him shall ye fear, and him shall ye worship, and to him shall ye do sacrifice. And the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandment which he wrote for you, ye shall observe it to do forevermore, and ye shall not fear other gods. And the covenant that I have made with you, ye shall not forget, neither shall ye fear other gods. Verse 39. But the Lord your God ye shall fear, and he shall deliver you out of the hand of your enemies. Howbeit, verse 40, they did not hearken. Can you believe that? After all they've been through, after all they've seen, after all the prophets that spoke to them, they didn't listen. You would think that the proof would be in the pudding. For the bad fortune that they've had, for the struggle that they've had with all their enemies and being given over into the hand of all their enemies, for all that, they still chose not to listen. Verse 40, howbeit they did not hearken, but they did after the manner. But they did after their former manner. So these nations feared the Lord and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers to do they unto this day. And that ends the history of the northern tribes, and with it goes out with Hoshea as their king. Now, with respect to Judah, let's go down through the kings of Judah, and then we will we'll read some scripture concerning Judah. Now, remember, the nation of Judah was actually the nation of Judah and Benjamin, as we read in the scripture. And as we read, there was a remnant, there was a smattering of the other 10 tribes included with them when they kept their land there in Jerusalem. So don't forget that. There, even when you get to the book of Acts, Paul refers to all 12 tribes once or twice in some of his dissertations. Or Peter did. I think it was Peter that referred, he said, which our 12 tribes serve, talking about God. So, you know, in the mind of Peter and in the mind of those there, there were all 12 tribes represented, even during the book of Acts. So I want you to keep that in mind as we go through. But let's go through and look here at the kings of Judah. And I don't have as many details for them as I did for the northern kings. I hope to go back and add some details to this. The southern tribes called Judah, the two tribes, started with, of course, King Rehoboam. Then after him, we have Abijam. Abijam is A-B-I-J-A-M. Abijam, Abijam. And then after him we have King Asa, A-S-A. He is succeeded by King Jehoshaphat. You heard the term jumping Jehoshaphat? Well, it's probably where that comes from. Jehoshaphat, J-E-H-O-S-A-P-H-A-T. He is succeeded by Jehoram, J-E-H-O-R-A-M, King Jehoram. He is succeeded by Ahaziah, A-N-A-Z-I-A-H. And I apologize for going quickly through this, but for obvious reasons, we would be here forever if we didn't kind of condense these. He is succeeded by King Athaliah, A-T-H-A-L-I-A, who is succeeded by King Joash, J-O-A-S-H, who is succeeded by King Amaziah, A-M-A-Z-I-A-H, who is succeeded by King Uzziam, U-Z-Z-I-A-M, who is succeeded by King Jotham, J-O-T-H-A-M, who is succeeded by King Ahaz, A-H-A-Z, who is succeeded by King Hezekiah. Now, it's during Hezekiah's reign that the events that we just read in 2 Kings 17 take place. During the king of Judah, Hezekiah's reign, that those events take place. So Hezekiah is H-E-Z-E-K-I-A-H. Then after him comes King, I'm trying to read it, Mana. It's a little bit small. Let me see if I've got an image that shows that a little better. I do stand by. Zoom in on it here. Manasseh, M-A-N-N-A-S-S-E-H. And then after him comes King Ammon, A-M-M-O-N. After him comes King Josiah, J-O-S-I-A-H. So now you know where Josiah's name comes from. Yeah. Lori keeps a little boy named Josiah. And I hope ours Josiah don't turn out to be as evil as that Josiah did.
Yeah, he's a wine
book. And then after him, of course, comes King Jehoahaz, J-E-H-O-R-H-A-Z. And after him comes King Jehoiakim, J-E-H-O-I-A-K-I-M. And after him comes King Jehoiachin, J-E-H-O-I-C-H-I-N. And then the last king of Judah, it ends with Zedekiah, Z-E-D-E-K-I-M. I-A-H. And what I want to do here for just a couple of minutes is flip with me over, and we're going to get into Dad's end of the study a little bit here, over to the book of Jeremiah, believe it or not. One of the better, more clear, easy to follow renditions of what happens to King Zedekiah is listed here in Jeremiah chapter 52. And I don't know if Dad plans on getting that far in his study or not, but if you think about what Dad's studying on Wednesday night and listen to what I just told you about kings being bad, 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 bad all the way down, you can understand kind of why what we're reading with Jeremiah, that the status that the prophets had to take concerning these people, that they were just absolutely evil and worshipped all the false gods. And that, yes, just wasn't satisfactory. Jeremiah chapter 52. Let's read verses 1 through 5, and then I'll finish up with 29 through 34. Jeremiah 52:1 says, Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began reigning. He's 21-year-old king, which wasn't unusual in those days. He's 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name, now remember, this is the last king listed of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libnah. And he did that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that King Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord, it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, till he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. And it came to pass in the 9th year of his reign, and in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his army, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and built forts against it round about. So the city was besieged, verse 5, until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. Well, how long did it say Zedekiah reigned? 11 years. So, his entire 11-year reign, from the time that Nebuchadnezzar showed up, the rest of his 11-year reign is plagued by fighting the king Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. Let's drop down to wind this up to verse 29 of Jeremiah chapter 52, and I'll be done for the day. It says in Jeremiah 52:29, in the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, he carried away captive from Jerusalem 832 persons. In the 23rd year of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive of the Jews 745 persons. All the persons were 4,600. It came to pass in the 7th and 13th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah. Now, I've got this listed as 452 B.C. in the Companion Bible. Came to pass in the 7th and 13th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and in the 12th month, in the 5th and 20th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the 1st year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, and brought him forth out of prison. And he spake kindly unto him, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon, and changed the prison garments, and he did continually eat bread before him all the days of his life. And for his diet, there was continual diet given to him of the king of Babylon, every day a portion, and the day of his death, all the days of his life. And so, thus ends, I believe, that's why you have the book of Lamentations, and there's plenty for Jeremiah to lament about. If you think about it, the book of Lamentations is exactly that. You know, Jeremiah's lamenting for his people, for the nation of Israel. So I believe we have here the closing out of King Zedekiah, who was an evil and evil king. You can also read about him, 2 Kings 24 and 25, and in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, I believe. And I apologize for just giving you a lot of stuff to read or to look at concerning these guys, but that's the only way I knew to do it and kind of shrink this entire chapter of Israel down to a manageable 45-minute study this morning. Now, of course, after these kings comes the Babylonian servitudes. We're going to get the Persian Empire taken over. We're going to have the Greek Empire taken over. And then we're going to have the Maccabean period, or the Maccabean period, and then, of course, the Romans come along. So the history of that area, the history of the nation of Israel, as you can see, is hundreds of years of nothing but being taken prisoner and being scattered. and their history without their God is not a very good one. Their history without their God is very sordid, and it's sad when you think about it, what they could have been. When you think about what they could have been and what they could have had if they had just served the Lord their God, He would have brought them out of every one of these trials and tribulations, or they may have never even had to put up with these trials and tribulations. But because they chose to serve the other gods, and that's the point I want to make, out of God's favor, Israel didn't do so well. And I think their history proves that out pretty clearly. Let me stop here.